but it's down to Cologne Ranger and Jeremy's Jet. Which of these will take the lion's share of $1 million? Jeremy's Jet on the inside, dead game, captures the metro!
Moving pictures from the backfield is coming on! Moving pictures on the far outside, reaches up for Mark McDonald to win the Breeders' Crown Open Mare Pace. It is Moving Pictures with a 9-1 stutter and 1-3-1.
Tying up on the end of it, trying to reach Mystical Sunshine. And it's Peaceful Way with her brilliant winning way to capture the
Armbrook. The great gladiator, the gladiator, la perle de une 74e victoire en carrière.
Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. Greetings, everybody. Norm Borg from the home office at Rideau-Carlton Raceway. And I want to put forth a suggestion or a theater of the mind thing here for you. Imagine you're tuning into, whether it's, you know, Racing from the Meadowlands, Woodbine Racing Live, to watch your favorite standardbred show. The analysts come on and do their betting prognostications, and this is what you hear. I like Shadow Play. He worked 6 furlongs in 123. It was phenomenal, and Ian Morris got this one ready to go for the $500,000 sprint this weekend at the Meadowlands. Oh, and tonight's sixth. Armbrough Chronicle stretches to 1 5/8 after racing 6 furlongs. He gets 2 turns today, blah, blah, blah. You get the picture. What would happen? What would be the take of people in the know if we adopted the T-bred model, or for that matter, the model used in harness racing in Europe, and that is to have varying distance races? We'll be talking to multiple O'Brien Award winner Casey Coleman coming up on Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. Welcome back to Trot Radio. So, okay, we've talked about the possibility that coming to North America could, in the near future, be harness racing with varying distances, like they do in Europe, like they do in the T-bred game worldwide. Let's talk to the people who are there in the front lines, and you can't get more front line or top of the line than a multiple O'Brien winner. Casey Coleman joins us on Trot Radio. Casey, welcome.
Thank you very much.
So tell me, as a trainer, how would you respond if you went to the race office tomorrow, picked up the condition sheet, and saw race number 1, 6 furlongs, Pacers? What would you do about that?
Well, I think for sure, like, anything should help. Nothing can hurt, because as everyone can see, our stands are getting kind of empty, and we need more people to the game, and they love the thoroughbreds and that extreme racing day at Georgian. They love that. That was an unbelievable turnout where we had all kinds of short dashes, long dashes, all kinds of different stuff, and as a trainer, we have to change our training schedule around and train them accordingly, but I don't think it would hurt.
Yeah, I'm wondering, you know, myself, my own take on it is, you know, I am a purist, but you're right, we've got to do something. My take would be, you know, for a trainer who's got different horses with different abilities, it might be, you know, a bit of a career saver if you can throw a horse in a race that plays to that horse's skills.
No, I agree with that for sure. Like, I've got many horses that can leave the gate 100 and get tired coming home, and vice versa. I've got a lot that can't leave whatsoever and come home hard. So if we add some, like, short races, whatever distance they come up with, and some long distance, like, I don't know, 1/16, 1.5, where they even add some, like, I don't agree with the overly long distance. Like, I would say, like, about a 1.5 to 2 miles max. I don't agree with those 3, and some of them are 5-mile races. That's bad for the horse in the long run, I believe. But I definitely would be game for trying anything else with short distance and, like, 1.5-mile races, and I think the fans would like the change up too.
Yeah, I have to give it, have to hand it over to the folks in Quebec. They did have a good idea over at Elmer. I mean, let's face it, it's not the best stock in the world. You want to make it somewhat entertaining. They did what were called, I think they were 11/16 of a mile, basically 1.5 times around a half mile track starting on the backstretch. And again, it was for those horses that had the early speed, you know, that kind of a thing. You're right about the 5-mile racing thing. That's a little crazy.
Yeah, Georgian Downs. I didn't like watching it. That's Georgian Downs did an awesome job. That extreme racing day was unbelievable. I thought it was great for the fans, for racing, for everybody. But just those the 3-mile or 5, whatever it was a lot of
It was a long one, yeah.
You've seen some of those horses looking like they were getting hurt and tired coming home. So that one, what I didn't agree with. But the rest of the races, I agree fully with. I think they would be good for racing.
Well, they do that as well, or they were doing it in parts of Quebec where they'd have 5-mile marathons. Again, I didn't agree with that either. But then again, I don't write the condition sheets. As a trainer, you've seen racing in different jurisdictions. What would if you were God or czar-ess for a day, what would you do technically with the sport? Not so much in terms of promotion, because we all know what needs to be done there. But as a trainer, what would you do differently to the game that you think might help its popularity?
There's so many things that they could do, that's for sure. I don't know. I know the Meadowlands has started something new, that they have a free poker tournament every Friday night for people to come into. And as they're in the free poker tournament, they've got people coming around explaining the races to them and giving them a rundown of the races and allowing them to bet, teaching them how to bet. And I know that I was just talking to one of the guys that runs that just last weekend at the Meadowlands, and he says that they've upped their handle on that betting section, like, substantially, quite a bit. So poker's the newest, best-going thing. So I think, I don't know if racetracks could somehow get that going around here in Ontario too, like the Meadowlands is doing. It's definitely working back there. So it's one idea. There's a lot of different ideas, but that's one.
What would you do in terms of the sport itself? Is there anything you'd change fundamentally about how the sport is presented? I'm talking about on track. I mean, we're talking about varying distances. Would you do something in that area?
Yeah, I would say on track, one track, Grand River Raceway, the lady over there named Kelly Spencer, I believe is their name. She does an unbelievable job over there. She gets, like, I even like going to the tarmac when I go over there to race, because she's got all kinds of different things for adults, kids, whatever, and gets the fans into it. Like, they have, in between the 20 minutes in between races, there's all kinds of stuff for fans to do over there at Grand River Raceway. So if some of these other tracks took up something like Kelly Spencer's doing at Grand River, I really think that would help too, because people, they can take their kids and go. The adults can bet and the kids can go have a good time, and they get pretty good turnouts over there because of it.
They certainly do, and Kelly Spencer is one of my favorite people. She does a great job over there. Let's get off off that beaten track for a moment, pardon the pun. You have achieved great success as a woman in this business, and let's face it, it is still a man's world vis-a-vis harness racing. Obviously, it's been a tough road, but what has sustained you? I mean, you've won 2 O'Brien Awards, and I don't want to get too controversial, but, you know, you've had to put up with certain built-in prejudices. How have you worked around that, Casey Coleman?
The whole time, I don't know, I've went through a lot being a woman trainer coming up, and a few different things that everyone knows I've went through in the last few years, but I don't know, just put your head down and keep working and pretty much try your best to ignore it, and I got nice. Great horses and good staff, good owners, and I just been very fortunate. So I just, you kind of got to don't let that bother you, and just look away and let, everybody's going to talk no matter what. In this business, if you're winning races, you're doing something wrong. If you're losing races, you don't know anything. That's just the way this business seems to be. So I just learned to deal with that.
Yeah, well, you really hit it on the nose. I've heard people that feel so sorry for a trainer that's not doing well, and then the minute that trainer does well, they think of 5 reasons why he received his success unfairly. Let's put it that way.
Very true. Sometimes us horsemen are our own worst enemies. We need to learn to stick together a little bit more and get the fans back in our grandstands, what we should be worried about, not who's winning and who's losing.
I agree with you 100%. Mark Winnicott said, when you're winning, nobody buys you coffee on Monday. But what would be your advice to any young women getting into the business right now?
Any young women getting in, I don't know, I'd say try to get a job with like a top stable, and that's you got to try to work for any kind of stable, but if you could get in with a top stable, and you got to learn the ropes, like every day you learn something. Nobody knows everything, like the best trainers in the world, Bill Robinson and Joe Stutzman, they don't know everything. Nobody does. You can always learn something. So I'd say get in with a good stable and learn your ropes from the bottom down. Start with muck and stalls and go from learning how to race the horse after that. And it's a lot of long hours and a lot of long days before you know exactly how to train a racehorse, that's for sure.
And the caretakers are in a lot of cases the unsung heroes of our business, and I do congratulate you, because you're one of the trainers that does treat their staff, especially their caretakers, with all due respect.
Yeah, actually, as you guys know, I always have a stable horse for them at By a Mile Stables, and right now they have a horse named Wild Motion, who's actually just went again last night at Georgian Downs. He's 4 for 4. He's made $19,000 now for them, and that's all their money for their Christmas bonus, and they've done quite well. But no, if we didn't have the caretakers we've got in this business, we, us trainers and drivers and owners, would be nobody. Without them, we don't have a business.
Well, you know, I'm mad at you. I don't know if you know this. For what it's worth, I'm mad at you. You claim Sultan of Sway the day I was supposed to come down and do the same thing.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Sure. Worked out well for you, though. Congratulations, anyways, on all the great work you're doing, Casey. How are things down at the Meadowlands?
Been very good guy. I got Andrew Harris running my stable down there, and he's done just a fantastic job. We've got 18 horses there now, and we're everything is racing absolutely phenomenal. I couldn't be any happier with both stables, both in the U.S. and Canada. They're both going great.
Well, it is befitting of a Double O'Brien Award winner. Casey Coleman, always a pleasure and a real thrill talking to you on Trot Radio. Thanks for this.
Thank you.
Multiple O'Brien Award winner Casey Coleman on Standardbred Canada's Trot Radio. We'll have more right after this. We're back on Trot Radio. Time for our Can See Back feature, where we, through the good graces of the internet, managed to turn up movies, a lot of them rather obscure, about horse racing. Sometimes it's not movies, sometimes it's commercials involving harness drivers, but you get what we're trying to get at, and that is unearthing some of the diamonds in the rough from yesteryear. Going to give you a little taste, and just for kicks, want to see if you can identify this horse racing movie from the early 1980s. Let her roll.
Hey, Trot. Who you like in the first, huh? Who you like? Come on.
The number four horse.
Come again?
The number four.
Nobody in his right mind, that's the four horse. The force is a joke, Trotter.
I had the chance to watch this back in, I think it was 81, and, you know, being primarily a horse player, I could so relate to the characters in that movie, and it was called Let It Ride, Richard Dreyfuss. Hilarious stuff. And the thing I find really funny is in this upcoming scene we're going to play, where Dreyfuss bets a horse, and bets it because the guy who's the most annoying fan there didn't bet it, therefore figured this horse is bound to win. Now, anybody who's ever been to a racetrack with any regularity knows there's at least three or four people there that'll get on your nerves, and they could be your closest friends. So if they're not betting on a horse, you might decide to bet on it, just because. It's just one of those crazy hunches that a bettor gets, and this next scene says it all.
Winner of today's first race, number
my
four,
God, Trotter! It's official, you won!
Blurred Image and third, number two, Dream Roadblock. The winning time of today's first race, 1 minute, 36.
Times 28.40, you're rich!
And the result
is that official?
Official.
I can't believe I didn't bet that!
What wonderful people!
I'd hate to have to walk around this joint with $700 cash.
$710! And you'll never have that problem, because the only reason I won is that you didn't bet. You are the unluckiest person in the world!
Am not!
Who do you like in a second?
The six horse looks pretty good.
Huh? You got a brother?
In Cleveland.
Call him up, ask him who he likes. I figure it's in the blood. You had it! You were the one who had it! You had it! You knew you're the unluckiest person in the world!
Yes, what a gem. Richard Dreyfuss in Let It Ride. That's it for this edition of Trot Radio on Standardbred Canada. Trot Radio is produced by Standardbred Canada. Technical producer Chris Knowles, brought to you by Boer Communications. Till next time, bye-bye.